Welcome to episode 106 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know the meaning of to smell a rat, understand what a fat cat is, comprehend the concept of letting the cat out of the bag, get a better understanding of a lame duck, and get an idea of why you should avoid a wild goose chase. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different, something hopefully that will be fairly entertaining for you. What we've actually done is we've gone out and done a little bit of research and looked for specific business expressions that have an animal in them. And that might sound very, very strange, but as usual, Alistair is here to explain everything. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I hope I'm able to. I'll try my best.
Yeah, I think we've got a collection of different expressions here that I think are fairly interesting for our listeners, right?
And all quite common. I mean, you know, all native speakers would instantly recognize these. But maybe our listeners have not heard them before. They may have heard some of them, but I doubt they've heard all of them.
That's true. And I suppose in a way it comes back to my sort of my perspective and my philosophy on this is that, you know, you might not necessarily be able to use these expressions because it takes a while to sort of get them into your brain. But if you have some sort of connection to them, or at least be able to put them into your passive vocabulary, then, you know, you won't be confused when a native speaker suddenly uses them, right? That's the key point. We want our listeners not to be confused and to feel comfortable. And that's the point here, really, right?
In business situations, and also when you're watching or reading a book or watching a series in Netflix or a film, you'll hear people will use these expressions. They are very common. Very widespread. They're not, you know, strange, unusual ones. And I think all of them are fairly universal. So I wouldn't say any of them are sort of colloquially British or American.
No.
Fairly standard in the English-speaking world. So you will hear them, you know, watching a film or a series, and you will hear people using them in, you know, in business meetings, etc. So, you know, you do, as I say, maybe you'll never use them or you don't feel confident enough to use them, but you will hear them. So, yeah, you need to understand what they mean. Or you'll be, because they're so strange, obviously, because they're idiomatic expressions where the literal meaning has nothing to do with the real meaning. So you'd just be totally confused. It's like, why are they talking about this animal? What's it got to do with this meeting?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So it's that confusion that we want to avoid. And the problem is when you get into a sort of confused state, or if you kind of like in a situation where you suddenly don't understand an expression, a word, or whatever it might be, generally our brains go into a very sort of fight or flight
mode.
Sort of situation. Right? And we kind of get very worried, we get confused, we get stressed. And so then our ability to move forward through the meeting or whatever it might be suddenly is really reduced. And we kind of like feel suddenly very self-conscious about our skills because we haven't understood this particular expression, or maybe this expression was key and I didn't understand it. You know, that's what we want to avoid, right?
Yeah. Indeed.
So the first one, well, in fact, the first, we kind of got these in pairs almost, okay? All grouped around a particular animal. So the first animal that we're actually going to focus on is the famous rat, okay?
Yes.
Now,
not
rats.
Not a pleasant animal. Lots of people have phobias about rats, understandably.
That's right. I always remember living in London and everybody saying that in the London Underground there were lots of rats that used to live in the London Underground. I don't know whether you ever came across that story.
I'm sure there are. In any place like that, you would get rats. What's that? The something about, what is it? You're never, I don't know, something like you're never more than 3 meters away from a rat.
Oh, really?
Or something like, have you ever heard that?
No.
Well, apparently they're just, you know, they are everywhere. It's just usually we don't see them because they're hiding, no? Or they don't come out till night, or they're in the sewers or whatever it may be in the underground. But I read somewhere, I heard someone say, I don't know how anyone could actually know this, but maybe just, you know, they know there are X billion rats. And so by definition. Yeah. So they do say that. It's something like you're never more than, I don't remember, 5 meters from a rat.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't see them most of the time, thank God. But there's one somewhere. So, you know, in your house, somewhere in the drains or in the, you know, there's a rat somewhere around. You just don't know it. Yeah,
there's somewhere around. Of course, thinking about London in that way also, you know, London, especially sort of Trafalgar Square, was famous for all the pigeons, right? And people used to say that they were like flying rats.
Oh, yeah, I always say, to me, it's a rat with wings. Yes. To me, because they carry diseases, they're dirty, I hate pigeons.
Yeah.
So to me, yes, people feed them, and it always really annoys me. Like, don't encourage them, stop feeding them. It's just a rat with wings. What do you do? It's vermin. There's a good word, vermin. V-E-R-M-I-N. I don't know what it is in Spanish, vermin. So vermin is sort of, animals that are, I don't know, cause problems for humans. Know whether that's infestations in your house, know, with certain kinds of whatever it may be that is not good for you or your house.
That's right.
So you have people know their job is to come round and get rid of the vermin from your house, whether that's rats or mice or ants
whatever
it might be that's causing you problems. It's vermin.
Yeah. I think in London they've kind of got rid of the pigeons now.
In Trafalgar
Square? Well, I don't know, because I kind of feel that the there was this idea that, you know, pigeons are not great, and so I think they did put some sort of action in place to get rid of them. To get rid of, which is a phrasal verb, obviously. So it's a very useful one.
Good phrasal verb.
Yeah.
Get rid of the pigeons. Yeah. I'm all for getting rid of pigeons. Because I live in what they call a duplex in Spain. So it's like, it's an apartment, but it's got two floors. So the upstairs is in the roof. So you've got the windows are like in the roof. And of course, pigeons just sit there on the window, waking you up in the morning, you know, making noises and scratching, and also doing their business, as we say, all over your window, which is fairly disgusting, and you have to clean them regularly. So, yeah, I've learned to hate pigeons with a vengeance, as we say.
Yes. Okay, let's get into these expressions. We started with rat, and then we kind of digressed. So the first one is really an interesting one, because I think it's so universal. So many people use it, and I think it's a good way to describe society in some way, right? The first one is a rat race, right? A rat race. Now, this is obviously a carrera de ratas, wouldn't it? That was kind of like how you translate
it. So you say to be part of the rat race, to escape the rat race. These are the two most common. So you're either in the rat race or you try to get out of it by escaping from it. Some people are able to escape, if they're lucky, the rat race. So the question is, what is the rat race, Daniel?
Well, the rat race is this whole idea of, competing with others, right? Competing with others in a sort of professional environment, a rat race. Mm. So you get up, you go to work, you do all you need to do, then you go home, and then you start again the next day, right?
It's the routine of life, isn't it? Yeah, it's like you get up and work, and you're always trying to earn money to survive. So you're sort of trapped in this race. Especially people who are ambitious, you're trying to get on in life, get promoted, get more money, get a better job, buy a bigger house. So that whole thing of the sort of consumer society and the routine of work and the repetition. Every morning, you know, the commuters spending every hour in a traffic, every morning an hour and a half in a traffic jam to get to work, and then in the evening. So the whole of that thing that is very negative is the rat race, and we're all in it in one way or another, no?
Yes.
Most of us have to work and have to participate in this rat race.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have much choice in many ways, right? No. It was kind of one of the main reasons why, for example, I came here to Spain in the first place, in a way to escape that whole idea of a rat race, right? But of course, a rat race exists everywhere in the world to a certain degree. Yeah, so even if you move to another country, you don't necessarily escape it.
You can changing one rat race for another one. But I suppose those races, like in real life racing, literally, you can have a 100-meter sprint or a marathon. I mean, races can be more difficult, less difficult, longer, shorter.
Sure.
So you could say, you know, not every rat race is the same. So perhaps our life as in the world of teaching in Spain is perhaps more relaxed or less routine or less stressful than our previous existence in the UK. Depends what your job was, you know, in the UK.
Yeah, sure.
And you lived in London, which is okay, you live in Madrid now, but I think London is a very stressful, competitive environment to live.
London
and
is amazing. I loved it a lot.
For
I
good and bad.
It's so exciting, absolutely. City, absolutely. Really amazing. You know, there's this famous expression about London, right? It's like, if you're bored of London, you're bored of life, or something like
was
that.
Was it tired? If you're tired of London, you're tired of life.
Yeah.
Who was that? Samuel Johnson or somebody like that? Some British writer, philosopher guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I agree. I'm not a great fan of London. Well, I like London to visit as a tourist, like most people. It's certainly a good city to visit, lots of things to see and visit, and great museums, great parks. But I never have lived there, and I've never wanted to live there. A very expensive city and too many
massively
people.
Massively expensive,
ridiculously. Massively. So, you know, luckily I've never been caught up in the capital city rat race. Although I live in a capital city now, but I don't feel... Well, I live outside it now quite a long way. And I'm a teacher working in my house. So, you know, I don't feel in any way... I'm not sitting
I think you've been fairly successful at escaping the rat race, actually, to be honest.
First, just coming to Spain and changing my job in the first place, I think, was certainly a less... What could we say? Less stressful rat race. Swapping a more stressful one for a less stressful one.
Yeah. So
feeling less like a rat race.
Yeah,
in teaching, definitely. And then now, especially with working from home and remotely, my life is much less complicated and stressful, not driving every day. And so definitely, I do feel that, yes, I think I've managed to more or less, obviously all of life and work is a routine by definition.
Sure.
So I suppose you have different degrees of rat race. I feel I'm in a fairly low level, fairly relaxed rat race.
Which is good.
I'm with the cool, relaxed, chilled out rats. You could say.
That's good. Okay, so that's the first one, a rat race. But then we do have another rat expression, which is to smell a rat, right?
Which is probably not very pleasant.
No.
Well, I don't know. Do rats smell?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never smelled one. So they probably do. Yeah. Well, they sort of live in the rubbish and the sewers. Yeah. And we associate rats with dirt, don't we? And not being hygienic.
Yeah, we do. That's right.
It's actually true, I don't know, but that's certainly the image that they have.
Yes.
A rat. What does that mean? Not literally, smelling a rat.
Yeah. Smell a rat often can be related to some sort of engaño, no? Like sort of somebody trying to...
trick you or
cheat you.
We did an episode, didn't we, on this with you and the Polish taxi driver. Do you remember?
That's right.
So all those words
to rip you off.
To be like ripped off, like un timo, no? Or to trick
un timo,
you
that's
off,
right.
To rob you. So it's when you suspect that somebody is trying to do that. So maybe with the Polish taxi driver, I don't know, if he was a bit suspicious and you were a bit, maybe you smelt a rat like, oh, I know this guy's going to overcharge me. Or maybe not. So that's smelling a rat, isn't it? It's when you suspect that somebody's trying to trick you or cheat you or rip you off in some way. No?
Exactly right, yeah. Exactly.
And you go, I smell a rat here. There's something wrong. Something is not right in this. So obviously in a business thing, it could be you're in some negotiation with somebody trying to sell you something or sign a contract for some kind of business. But if you smell a rat, you'd be like, I'm not convinced there's something suspicious here. Something's not right.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't go ahead with this project or sign this contract. Or I suppose you don't trust someone, no? If you don't trust the people you're working with, you smell a rat.
Absolutely. And I think it kind of goes back down to sort of your gut instinct, which we've talked about in the past. The whole idea of your gut instinct is very, very interesting idea. Sometimes we just have a feeling that something's not quite right, that it's not right for us, or that we don't want to go forward with it. And we're kind of, it's what our gut is telling us, right?
Yeah, it's instinctual. This is not, there's no evidence necessarily. It's just you get a bad feeling about somebody. No? I smell a rat, something wrong here. I don't trust this person or this situation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. Good. Okay. So those are two there, rat race and smell a rat.
And then the next animal that we're going to go on to is a cat.
Yeah, right? Much nicer animal, I think. You know, a pet. Yeah, not absolutely. Many people have pet rats.
That's right.
But many
that's
people
right,
have absolutely. Cats. I know. Do you have a yeah. pet? Do you have a dog?
I did. I had a cat. I had a cat yeah. for a while. Yes, yeah. but not for, only when I was living in England, so it wasn't for yeah. very long. But yes, I did have a cat. Yeah.
I've never had a cat. My family had dogs when I was growing up, two dogs.
Right.
But as an adult myself, I've never owned a pet.
Okay.
Which is unusual. Okay. People often grow up with dogs, tend to, you know, love dogs and
that's
want
true,
to
yeah.
have them. But yeah. I've never been interested in having any kind of pet, to be honest.
Mm.
Cat or mm. dog. But yeah, but at home growing up, we had dogs, not cats.
Mm. Interesting. So there are three here, actually. It's like quite a few different expressions with cats, and they're all pretty much, they are kind of in a way business related as well. The first one specifically, which is a fat cat, right?
Yeah.
Gato gordo. Right?
Just imagine this cat's been eating far too much and's got very, very fat.
Yeah. What is who? I mean, this is kind
who
of often represented, isn't it? Mm. It's represented in cartoons as well,
by literally
like
a fat cat. Yeah.
Sitting in a sort of business armchair or something like that.
Yeah, smoking a cigar, eating huge amounts of food.
Yeah,
because I suppose it's sort of it's that sort of image, isn't it? Yes. Why a cat? I don't know. Maybe cats do. Well, cats are quite late. They spend most of the time sleeping, don't they?
Mm.
Well, you could say dogs as well. You know, eating and sleeping most of the day.
Sure.
So I suppose it's very easy for them to get fat. They don't. You don't see cats running. Dogs run around, don't they? A lot. And have lots of energy. Cats seem to be move quite slowly, quite relaxed, sleep
docile.
A lot, more docile. Mm. So maybe that's where it comes from. No? They can easily get quite, you know, fat and So that's the image of it. So what is a fat cat then in the metaphorical sense?
Yeah, it's often obviously associated, which is kind of not really obvious at all, but it is associated with business leaders, let's say, people who are like at the top of a organization, right? I think it's also people who are fairly affluent, have a lot of money, and
maybe a bit ostentatious.
Basically have a lot of have a lot of power
house.
Power control, you know,
power, money. So that combination, is it? So we think of those big, you know, leaders of Bill Gates or who's the one who's so famous at the moment with changing Twitter to X? Elon Musk,
for example. Yes.
Elon Musk. So all these kind of extremely rich, powerful people at the top of big multinational organizations, no? We tend to think of these as being fat cats.
Yeah.
Maybe because we have this image of them sitting around their swimming pool, drinking martinis, whatever, their big fat cigar, enjoying all their money, perhaps, is where it comes from.
Maybe.
Getting fat.
Yeah. Maybe those are kind of like those types of profiles where, you know, those entrepreneurial profiles are maybe not so much fat cats because they are so like, they kind of like continuously work, right? They don't really sit around and do nothing.
Yeah. Maybe it wouldn't be those kind of people because they're very dynamic people who make, I suppose it's, maybe it's the ones who are top of big organizations, but we don't feel they actually do anything very useful or... Yeah, they just become
like figureheads almost.
Yeah, some of these CEOs of, I don't know, big Telefonica or whatever, you know, British Telecom. And we get the idea they don't seem to do very much. They're not very dynamic. They're not creating new businesses and being original. They're just sitting there collecting a massive salary for doing very little maybe they work very hard, but the image we get is they're just, you know, playing golf most of the time.
Sure,
And not doing very much for their millions. Yeah, it's always often associated with salaries. You know, in the UK particularly, there's always big newspaper headlines and controversy about CEO, you know, increases his own, gives himself a pay rise 60%.
Sure.
So it's usually the kind of big boss of a company who's telling the workers, we need to tighten our belts because the economy's not good. You need to take a pay cut or, you know, don't ask for more money because this is not the moment because everything. And then you see they've given themselves a 60% pay increase on their 10 million salary.
Yeah.
Kinds of people get described as fat cats, no?
Absolutely.
So it's a very negative sort of idea, isn't it? Fat cats. It's not positive.
It is.
So maybe I'm wrong to call people like Bill Gates and those people fat cats because they are, you know, actually clever people who do stuff, no? And invent things and...
Sure, sure. Yeah,
quite
they're too
useful.
Dynamic. They're
far too dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah, they're running around. They can't. They never stop. They run around. Yeah, they run around too much. They can't get fat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're sort of obsessive characters, aren't they? Even though they're billionaires, you know, they could just give up the business and go and lie on a beach in the Caribbean, sitting around the swimming pool all day, getting fat. But they don't. They just keep on going.
No.
And they never seem to retire. They sort of die in the job, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah,
so maybe because I was wrong to say, maybe that's not the image of a fat cat, really.
Partly because I think in that particular case, like those types of profiles that you were talking about, they are the money is not a motivation for them, actually.
No, obviously not, because maybe it was at the beginning, perhaps.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but then because I always think, as soon as I made my first 2 million, I would have just retired. But they never, it doesn't matter how many billions they have, they just keep going, they keep working. That's so obviously sort of workaholics, I think.
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah. Good, we've got two more cat expressions. The second one is very cruel, and it goes along the lines of this, which is there's more than one way to skin a cat. Right. Now, it probably needs a bit of explanation, that one, particularly idea of skinning a cat, right,
Alistair? Yeah, well, skinning an animal, but usually not a cat. That's why it's quite an unusual expression. So if you're a hunter, cazador, and you hunt an animal, if you want to eat it, if you want to cook it, you need to skin it. So to skin is remove the skin to prepare it for then when you have to remove other parts of its body, intestines and God knows what, rather unpleasant thought. To be able to cook it. So, yeah, skinning an animal is that. You think of hunters, no? Cazadores.
Yeah.
Hunting. But who hunts cats? I mean, we don't eat cats, or not usually. So why a cat? I've no idea. But for some reason it's... And there's more than one way, which is a bit strange also, because you think, is there really more than one way? I think there's probably probably is only one way to skin any animal. You just remove the skin, no?
That's right.
So it's a very strange expression. A, why cats? And why is... I'm not sure there is more than one way. However, the expression is there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, and so we probably need to explain a little bit about what that means, because essentially it means sort of the process of doing something, right? Getting to the end objective. And the expression is saying, well, you know, you could do it in through option or through method A or through method B.
Yeah.
And essentially both methods are seemingly okay.
Yeah. There's not only one way to achieve something, your goal. No, there are various ways, and different people might achieve their goals in different ways. Like learning English, you could even say, you know, there are different methodologies.
Absolutely.
And some people say, no, the best way is, I don't know, whatever it may, go to the country, live, work there, total immersion, it's the only way. Mm. And others say, no, well, that's obviously a very good way, but not everyone has that possibility, obviously. But there are other ways you can get very good at speaking English, by studying and, well, many things. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. So there's more than one way to become proficient in a language.
Absolutely.
For example, obviously business sense as well, no? There's many different ways you can achieve your objectives and goals in a business sense.
Yep, that's good. It's good. A very strange one, but a very interesting one. And certainly people would be confused by that. I mean,
if somebody says that to you in a meeting.
Like,
which is very possible. It's a very common expression.
Yeah.
If you're insisting that this is the way to do it and there's only this way, and someone says, well, come on, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you'd be like, what? Why then?
Why a cat? What are you talking about?
What on earth are you talking about? What's that?
I'm getting super stressed here.
And why would you want to be killing a cat and skinning it? Well, even if you understood what skin means.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You'd still what? What's the relevance of that here? So this is the point. I can't imagine many of our listeners are ever going to use this expression. They might, but you certainly can hear it. It's, you know, all of these were very common. So they're not weird, strange, unusual expressions.
And I always find this very interesting because, you know, like native speakers have got no idea in many cases about what would be confusing for non-native speakers. So, for example, they could easily come out with that expression just assuming that
you know it. It's obvious, no?
Yeah.
And you'd be saying, excuse me, could you repeat that? And they wouldn't try, maybe the first time they wouldn't even attempt to explain what it means. They just repeat it again. Think, oh, you didn't hear me. Said, there's more. What? And you go, sorry, what? And then they go, oh, you don't. Okay. And then they have to explain it to you.
Sure.
But they just assume that, well, you must know that. No, it's a very common expression. But
yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
There's no reason you should know it.
No, that's true. Okay, let's move on with the last one with cats. And the last one is this is very common as well. Really, really common. I hear this like native speak. I wouldn't use this necessarily in a class or a session, but native speakers use this all the time to let the cat out of the bag. Right.
So again, more cruelty to cats. Isn't it? You're skinning cats. You've got cats trapped in bags.
Yeah.
That you're not supposed to let out.
That's true.
So yeah, it's a bit cruel with cats. So those cat lovers listening, you know, you shouldn't, you know, maybe you shouldn't be listening. Cover your ears. Don't let your cat listen to this. That would be my advice.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let the cat out of the bag. Well, here you've got to again, if somebody said that to you, you'd just be like, why are we talking about cats and bags? What's that got to do with anything? So basically, the cat represents a secret, and the secret is hidden in the bag. You can't see it. So basically, it's if you let the cat out of the bag, you're letting the secret out into the world where people can see it. So basically, it's when you're supposed to keep something secret and you forget and you tell somebody the secret.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, sorry, I didn't, and so I let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
So accidentally, I didn't intend to do it, but I've told everyone the secret.
Yeah. Or you might not be 100% sure that you've let the cat out of the bag. Mm. So you might say, I think I've let the cat out of the bag.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah. It's a bit tricky. Hope I haven't, but they might have caught on. And
So they're in a business sense. So there could be a meeting where there's a client in the meeting, a supplier or whatever, and there's supposed to be some information that you're keeping secret from that client for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That your boss has said, don't mention the... And then you do mention it, and you go, oh. And then later you might say, oh, I hope maybe I let the cat out of the bag. Say, I don't think they heard you. So you may be okay. I don't think they noticed.
So exactly. So So there you go. Three with cats. That's quite incredible, to be honest. Our research came up with two rats and three cats, and then we came up with this is also a sort of a category. Two different animals. But they're kind of similar. Related, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And the first one, well, actually the two animals are a duck and a goose. Okay, so we'll first talk about the duck, which is a pato cojo, right? Basically, the translation would be, right? And in English, for that, you would say a lame duck, right? Yeah, a lame duck.
Good word, lame. L-A-M-E, lame.
Yeah.
So cojo. Well, we have another word. If a duck is lame, I think lame makes me, you've got some kind of sort of disability, mobility problem, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if it always refers to your legs, but I think it does.
Maybe
not. Yeah. But anyway, a lame duck, the image I get in my mind is this poor duck that's limping. So you have this word to limp, cochea. So basically one leg doesn't work very well. So you can't walk properly because you're limping because you've got a problem with your leg. So that would be a lame duck. You could say the duck is limping, but the expression is lame duck. So pato cojo. So it's a strange image, no? So obviously it's not a duck and it's not lame. You have to understand what it means. This one does make some sort of sense, though, doesn't it? There is some sort of logic behind it, no?
Yeah.
In the way we use it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like clearly you could, if you're describing a business as a bit of a lame duck, it basically means that it hasn't got much of a future, let's say.
Hasn't got legs.
Hasn't got legs. Yeah. That's right, which is another expression really. But
not too many legs.
Yeah. So it's kind of a situation where the business is not doing well or, it just feels as if the strategy is not there. They're not selling enough. It's just not working very well at all.
It's not a success. Because obviously, to be a good duck, you need to move around. So you don't want to be a lame duck. You don't want to be a lame anything. So any lame animal isn't going to succeed very well. It probably isn't.
Well, isn't going to survive, right?
Well, it's going to survive. Basically, it's going to be eaten by a predator because it can't run quickly enough or fly or whatever it may be.
So
it's not good to be a lame duck or a lame any animal. When you describe a business or a company as being a lame duck, it's probably not going to survive very long. Poor duck.
Because
it's not very successful. Basically, it's not very good.
Yeah,
it's having problems.
Yeah. So I think that fairly explains that one. Then the second one is a goose, as I mentioned before. And this is a slightly different but also equally interesting, which is a wild goose chase, right, Alistair?
Yeah.
A wild goose chase. Now, often we would say something like, it led me on a wild goose chase. No, true. Something like that.
To be led on a wild goose chase, yes.
Yeah. Which you do have an actual little story connected to that, don't you, a little bit, Alistair, on your recent...
The experience, sort of being led, or at least feeling like I am on a wild goose chase, or being led on a wild... Well, you should say what a goose is. So a goose is a ganso, or oca. Not quite sure the difference, to be honest. An oca and a ganso. But to us, I think it's the same as a goose. The plural is geese, so it's like foot, feet, and tooth, teeth. You have one goose with double O and two geese with double E, just so people know. In this case, it's a wild goose chase. So you're chasing one goose, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, geese, using the plural, obviously they fly and fly very quickly. So, you know, if you're trying to hunt the goose or catch the goose, it's pretty difficult. And it'll take you a long time and maybe you're successful in the end or maybe you're not, but it's certainly... takes a long time and it's not easy. No, it's complicated to hunt a goose or any flying bird, I suppose. So that's the sort of idea behind it. No, sort of some long, difficult, complicated process, maybe very bureaucratic process.
Yeah.
We did mention when we did idioms with colors, and we mentioned red tape, cinta roja.
Yes.
So red tape is bureaucracy, something very bureaucratic. So my red tape or feeling like I'm on a wild goose chase is trying to obtain the Spanish nationality, which is pretty complicated and it takes a long time. So I put in my application over 2.5 years ago, and that's excluding all the preparation and documents you have to get before that, which took about a year to get all the stuff together, and you have to do exams, language exam, cultural exam. So I sent in my application with all my documentation, waited for until last week, so 2.5 years later, they finally processed it, and it was like, yes, you can have it.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. I feel very happy about this. I can get my, the purpose is to get my EU passport, because of course, being British and Brexit, we are no longer members of the, we're no longer European Union citizens.
That's true.
So as I had that right taken away from me, I want to get it back. So anyway, so you know, now in theory I can get a Spanish passport and which is an EU passport. That's the reason really I want it. Anyway, so I thought, okay, the process is finally over. This wild goose chase is coming to an end. You know, finally caught the goose.
Yeah.
But no, apparently not, because then the next step is you have to go to the Registro Civil, so the civil register. Nearest that corresponds to where you live. And you have to then jurar, you have to swear on the Spanish Constitution, loyalty to the Spanish Constitution and the King of Spain, would you believe?
There you go.
The jurar la nacionalidad o la bandera or something. Anyway, so you have to make an appointment through internet to go there and do this. Once you've done that, I am Spanish and I can get my ID card, my DNI, as they call it, and my passport. So I thought, okay. Easy, no? Go on the internet, make an appointment, go there, do it. I discovered this morning that the next available appointment in the civil registry nearest to where I live is the 17th of September. So, you know, in 7 months.
Yeah.
Now, this, you could say, well, it's not that much of a problem. It's just waiting even more time. But no, because when they gave me the nationality or they said, I can have it, it says you have 180 days maximum, a deadline to do this thing where you have to swear the constitution. And then if you don't do it, this becomes cancelled. So that's it. It's the end and you have to start from the beginning again, which I would, well, I think I'd just kill myself, to be honest, rather than do that. So I was panicking like, oh my God, if I can't get an appointment, this is more than 7 months, what happened? So I rang them. Luckily, I managed to get through, which is incredible in itself. They answered the phone, and they said, oh, no, don't worry. It's like, no, the government said this deadline of 180 days doesn't matter anymore. We've extended it indefinitely because we realize that we haven't got resources or staff. We're totally snowed under. Good expression.
Yeah,
we mentioned snowed under with applications, not enough people to process them. So we do realize that it's taking, you know, more than 180 days. Therefore, don't worry. It's just make the appointment in September, come along, do it, and everything's okay. So it's like,
good.
Phew.
That's, yeah.
So I feel like
good news.
That, you know, my wild goose chase is still continuing. I still haven't caught the goose yet. I've still got another 7 months. So I do feel sometimes with this whole process like I'm being led on a wild goose chase.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good example of a wild goose chase. Absolutely, but and hopefully in September that will finish that wild goose chase.
Touch
Let's
wood,
hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All these.
I think you'll get there. Yeah. So it's the most important thing is that the wild goose chase at one point finishes, right?
Yeah.
But the wild goose chase does always explain the process rather than whether you achieve it or not, right? The wild goose chase is a little bit, doesn't have any connection really to whether you achieve it or not. It just means that the process is a bit convoluted, a bit complex,
yeah,
right, and difficult to achieve, let's say.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So it's an interesting one. So there you go, a lame duck and a wild goose chase. And we just wanted to finish today's episode with another one, which is a dark horse, right? A dark horse. Now it's a very strange one, right, Alistair? I mean, it's like, does that mean, a dark horse?
I mean, literally, obviously, is un caballo oscuro, so a black horse, for example, would be a dark horse.
Yeah,
Black Beauty, if you remember Black Beauty, famous book and TV series.
Sure.
So, what does it mean? Well, a dark horse. Well, we were trying to imagine what this origin could be of this. We've no idea, but I suppose if you have a dark horse, literally, and it's night time. You wouldn't be able to see it, or it'd be very difficult to see it. So that's the only thing we can think of. So a dark horse is like something you don't see. It's unpredictable. It's almost impossible to predict. So very unlikely. So obviously, if you look, the most obvious example is sort of in sport. So obviously, where you have a football team or whatever, a tennis player. So, well, tennis maybe. Imagine, you know, the number 250th tennis player in the world at Wimbledon, obviously nobody would expect that person to win or get to the final.
Sure.
So if you're betting, apostando, very few people would bet on that person winning Wimbledon because, you know, they're number 250 in the world. Now, that person is a dark horse in that if they do end up getting to the later stages, maybe to the semi-final, even the final, and of course winning, they would be a dark horse because nobody could see them, you know, this person appearing in the final because it's very unlikely. So the probabilities are very low of this person or thing having success. No? So we use a lot in sport talking about, you know, who are the dark horses for the next World Cup? So some team that nobody expects to win, but well, maybe they could win. It could be, it's a surprise. It's a shock if they win. No?
Yeah. It's often for those kind of like situations where they are not expected to win, but they have like a lot of potential, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's not totally. Yeah, it's you not, could see that, yeah, it's possible. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they've sort of put enough in place or they kind of done well recently. You know, you could imagine them doing fairly well. And so, if you're not 100% sure who the winner might be, you could say, well, these are the usual suspects. You know, they would be the ones that would probably win. But the dark horses, the favorite. But there are a few dark horses as well, right? You could say that, something like that.
That's
and these
true.
Are the players,
it's sort of the opposite, isn't it? As you say, usual suspects and favorites. So they're the teams you would always expect to win. You know, always, I know, Argentina, Brazil, Germany, Italy. These are the teams that, you know, everyone thinks will be probably win. No favorites. But they say, what about, so in this kind of thing, they're always saying, and choose the favorites and one dark horse. Mm. So when people are trying to predict these kind of tournaments and events, they usually say, okay, the favorites are these, very obvious. But my dark horse for the tournament would be, so they might say, no, Turkey for the World Cup.
Sure.
So no one expects Turkey to win. They've never won it before. But you say, but, you know, they've got a good team. They're doing well recently. They have potential. So it's a surprise, but it's not impossible, no?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the idea, the caballo oscuro. Mm. You don't really see it coming. Mm. We kind of came to the conclusion that probably it would have to be at night if the yeah, horse is dark.
In the daytime, it'd be easier to see.
You'd be easy to see, that's right. So yeah, but it's an interesting one. And I think, again, something that a native speaker could so easily say, but then confuse a non-native listener completely. I mean, you know, what is a dark horse?
Yeah. In business situation, you could be talking about a person, a colleague.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some young guy joined the company you know, he's okay, pretty good, not bad, but nothing exceptional. And you would never imagine that maybe this person could advance quickly and become like the big boss, the head of the department or the CEO in the next 5 years at the age of 35. So obviously you'd say, oh, he was a bit of a dark horse. So like, no, I mean, everyone thought he was quite good, you know, he's an intelligent guy, but like to get that far in such short time is a big surprise. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody predicted it. So
yeah,
you could describe, you know, a person in a company as a dark horse.
Yeah, or the company themselves in terms of competition.
The company, yeah. Suddenly gets ahead of the competition and becomes huge quite quickly that no one really expected or predicted.
Absolutely. Good, Alistair, there we go. So many different expressions there with lots of different animals. I'll quickly review them just so that everybody can get a quick feeling for all of them again. The first one we started off with were two with rat. So we have the rat race, which obviously we're all involved in, either more or less. And then we also had to smell a rat. Okay, so if you're kind of not 100% sure about something, you have some doubts, you smell a rat, maybe it's a timo, an engaño, then you might smell a rat. So there are two very interesting ones at the beginning there, rat race and smell a rat. When we went on to cat, which was a fat cat, which is kind of like a very specific type of image of somebody sitting on a big corporation getting paid quite a lot, but not a very dynamic individual. And so, you know, they would be a gato gordo, a fat cat, right? Often many people would connect that. It's a negative idea of somebody who's getting paid for doing fairly little, let's say. Mm. So that's a very interesting one too. Then there's more than one way to skin a cat, which is all to do with methodology, right? So you can choose option A or option B. Both of them are equally fine. And if you can say, you know, if you say something like that, there are more ways to skin a more than one way to skin a cat, you're basically saying that you can there are different methodologies that are equally valid, right? Mm-hmm. Then we've got to let the cat out of the bag, which was all related to the idea of a secret. And suddenly maybe you were supposed to keep that secret, but you let the cat out of the bag, which means that you exposed the secret, or you gave the secret away, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like a very interesting one as well, because it's just a very lots of cruelty happening to animals throughout all of this, to be honest.
Skin cats in bags.
Yes, absolutely. Then we had two which were very similar as well in terms of the animals. We have a duck and a goose. We had a lame duck, which is basically a duck that is like limping, we said, doesn't have much future, more than likely will be eaten or killed very, very quickly. And this you can also say about an organization or whatever you're talking about. So you think that something hasn't got much of a future, you could say it's a bit of a lame duck. Yeah, doesn't really.
It's not going to be
there's
successful.
Not much future involved there. Yeah. And then Alistair was on a wild goose chase with his application in terms of Spanish. Yes. Still going. Yeah. Very interesting type of expression, a wild goose chase, basically talking about the process that you're going through when you are doing that, trying to achieve a particular objective. Okay. Alistair is trying to achieve this Spanish nationality, and it's a bit convoluted. It's a little bit difficult. You need to go through many hoops or jump through many hoops, right?
Yeah. Lots of obstacles they put in your way to get to your objective.
Yeah. And the final one was a dark horse, which is somebody who you're not expecting to perform necessarily very well. You could almost even imagine it in like a horse race, right? The horse right at the back, not expected to do well. Nobody's expecting to win. And then finally sort of gallops through and wins the race.
Moment, yeah. Dramatic film sort of scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good. So there you go. Some range of different expressions. I'm sure some of those will be new for you. Again, remember, this is all about your passive vocabulary. It's so that you don't get stressed in a moment that you think, I need to understand this, and you don't. The way that you can apply this is not necessarily you actually using it, but just being being aware of what the meaning might be, and so that you kind of can remain relaxed in those key moments where you think, I know that expression. I understand that expression. And so I don't need to get stressed about it. I can just continue my conversation and can continue the flow of communication, right? So, hopefully very useful for everyone. Alistair, thank you very much for your time. Amazing as usual.
Thank you. And, it's been a pleasure, as always.
We will see each other again next week. Okay.
Yeah, cheers.
Bye-bye. All right. See you then. Bye-bye.